Matthew 14, verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Wow, it got hot up here all of a sudden. but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Man, isn't that good when God reminds you, hey, be of good cheer. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if..."
Yeah.
Now that's the first clue, right? "Lord, if it be thou..." Peter, he just said it was. "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said one word. If you have a red letter edition, it's right there in red. One little word. "Come."
Amen.
And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water.
Amen.
To go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, that means strong and stronger than it was when he got out of the ship, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of what?
Little faith.
Yeah. Wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, Jesus, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God."
Amen.
Let me preach to you about walking on water tonight. Our Father, we need you tonight. We love you. Thank you, God, for the good day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Please now work in our hearts. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, your power, your understanding, and your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And please be seated. Now, what a great story. I mean, what an exciting story, right, in the Bible. I think folks all over the world have heard about this story.
Yeah,
you know, scoffers and gainsayers, they may deny that it's true, but they've heard of it.
Yeah.
They've heard about it. Atheists will say, "Well, it's not possible," but they've heard about it.
Right.
I would say probably, if you had to just guess the top five most well-known stories in the Bible, this would probably be in the top five. You know, you got the gospel, Jesus, the death, burial, the resurrection. I mean, everybody knows about that. They don't necessarily accept it as truth, but David and Goliath, right?
Amen.
Noah's Ark. Crossing of the Red Sea, you know, the Ten Commandments. And walking on water.
Amen.
It's talked about all over the world. I mean, good night. It's talked about all over the world. And it has been from eternity past, really. One interesting bit of truth, though, Jesus didn't say a word about it. Hebrews 11, don't turn over there, but you know Hebrews 11 is a chapter that speaks of great faith. And many different people in the chapter. You've got Abel, you've got Abraham, you've got Sarah, you've got Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, Gideon, Samuel. You've even got Rahab, a Gentile harlot. You've got Samson. In Hebrews chapter 11. And if you and me were writing the book, man, we would have put Peter in there. Not God.
Yeah, right.
Jesus was not impressed.
Yeah.
Doesn't that strike you a little bit interesting, at least a little bit curious? How come Jesus was... Let me say that again. Never says one word about Peter walking on water. Never. Not here, not anywhere else in the Bible.
Right. Yep, that's right.
Never.
Yeah.
Furthermore, when Peter writes his two epistles later on in life, he never mentions it either.
Yeah.
He talks about, you know, how he was up on the mount with Jesus, and Jesus was transfigured, and he talks about his glory, and he talks about how when we go through trials and how God tests us and the value that they have. He talks about Paul's writings and how sometimes they're hard to understand, but he never once mentions the fact, hey, have you heard I walked on water?
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
If you and I walked on water, we'd be like that guy who thinks the earth is flat. We'd have it all over our trucks. We'd have it all over our houses. We'd have it up in lights. We'd wear it on our foreheads. And we'd have bumper stickers. Hey, I walked on water.
Yeah, come on.
We'd be telling our kids about it. Make sure you tell your grandkids about it. Hey, have you heard? Have you heard? We'd be telling everybody. Sooner or later, it'd come up in conversation. And it'd come up again. And it'd come up again. It was because, hey, I walked on water. Think about this, though. Nobody else in that ship said a word about it either.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Nobody said a word. All the disciples were sitting there watching Peter climb out of the boat and then back to the boat. Nobody said a word about it.
Right. Amen.
I don't think it was a big deal to them and to Jesus as it probably is to most people today. Here's the question, though. Why not? I mean, I hope that maybe I struck a curiosity, but why not? I believe the answer tonight is the message tonight, really. What I want to get to, what's going to help all of us, it's helped me very much. I believe the answer is going to help us tonight, and I believe the answer that Jesus didn't say a word about it, the disciples didn't say a word about it, is because it was an act of pride.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, amen.
Peter was acting in pride. Can I tell you, pride does not impress the Lord.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
No matter what you accomplish, it doesn't impress the Lord. As a matter of fact, God resists the proud because the proud resists God.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, amen.
Let me say something to you. The love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil, not money. Sit still and listen, okay? Turn around. Leave the books alone. The love of money, not money, is the root of all evil, all sin.
Yeah.
All sin. Every sin. From the beginning in the Garden of Eden, actually up to heaven in Lucifer, the love of money is pride, church.
Yeah, right.
That is pride.
Yep.
Why do you mean, preacher? Because it's the love of money says I've got to have more of it. Why? Because it makes me more important.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep.
Because it allows me to have more stuff.
Man,
yeah.
Because it makes me feel better.
Yeah.
The love of money is all about me.
Nope.
Pride.
Right.
Pride is the root of all sin. Pride is the root of all. Pride did not impress Peter's friends either.
Yeah. Right.
You know what? They knew how Peter was. They were with him a lot.
Yeah.
They knew Peter. They weren't impressed. Think about this. What was the point of Peter walking on water in the first place? What was the point of Peter getting out of the boat in the storm, going to Jesus, when Jesus was on his way to him?
Yeah.
Right.
And he already said, it's I, be not afraid. And he was coming toward them. So what was the point? In other words, there was no reason for Peter to do this except to maybe show off.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Peter was just that way. You know, if you know your Bible, Peter was just that way.
Yep.
Peter knew better than the Lord.
Yeah. Well.
He rebuked Jesus more than once.
Yeah.
God, Jesus called him Satan. By the way, who's the father of all pride?
Satan. Yeah.
What Jesus called Peter?
Satan.
See, this was an act of pride, showing off. It really had no purpose, no point to this. Jesus knew it.
Yeah.
Right. His friends knew it. Nobody was impressed.
Yep.
Like they are today. Because people don't understand. This was not something. As a matter of fact, Jesus called in verse 31. He said unto him, O thou of what? Little faith.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take long tonight, but a couple of things about this incident that I think that we can learn from. Because can I say something? Let's just all be honest tonight. We all have pride.
Yeah. Right.
We all have pride. Not one single person ever born in this world is born without pride. Again, it's the root of every sin you commit comes from pride. All evil. Well, I just told a little white lie. Well, because you're trying to protect you. It's all because of pride. Quickly, his pride, number one, made Peter want to be like Jesus. Now, if you remember in your Bibles, this was Satan's problem. I will be like the Most High. That's what he said. You're never more like Satan than when you allow your pride to control you.
Amen.
Let me say that again. We are never more like Lucifer than when we allow our pride to control us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like Satan. I don't want to be like the devil. I don't want to identify with him at all. I don't want to be in his camp. I don't want to be next to him on his team. I want to be as far away from him as I can. But see, Peter's pride made him. Now, you say, wait a minute, preacher. I thought the Bible says that we are to be like Christ. Okay, yes, we are. We are to be conformed to the image of Christ and have the mind of Christ. Yes, but listen. What Peter's doing here is he's trying to steal the glory from Christ and put himself on the water. That's what America, that's what churches in America are doing today. They're exalting themselves over Christ. They're exalting themselves over Christ. Peter's place was in the boat. Jesus was coming. Peter had no purpose for doing it. I know we can imagine all this kind of stuff, but remember what he said. Lord, if it be thou. Right off the bat, we see him doubting the word of God. That's pride, church. You read the Bible, it tells you what it tells you. It tells you straight, black and white, straight out of heaven into your heart. And you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. If that's true, well, that ain't nothing but pride. Yea, hath God said, that ain't nothing but pride. But see, Peter said, Lord, if it really is you, you bid me come into thee on the water. Jesus, like, you know, Peter, you got me fooled. Okay, Peter, what are you up to now? No, Jesus knew what he was doing. He said, okay, Peter, come. Look at me, guys. But really, what was the point?
Come on. That's right.
It was pride.
That's right. Absolutely.
It was pride. His pride made him want to see. He wanted to be like Christ so he could get the glory, so he could get the praise, so he could be exalted, and Jesus could fade off in the shadows. And listen to me. Every time Satan acts, he's trying to get the glory from God so Jesus can fade off in the shadows.
Amen.
You're never more like Satan than when you allow your pride to control you. Number two, his pride made Peter want to be better than everyone else in the boat. He wanted to prove to them he had more faith than they did. know, we should want to grow in grace. We should want to grow in faith. We need to grow. We need to grow.
Amen.
God says grow in grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow. We need to add to our faith, virtue, and knowledge. And you know, you ladies have been talking about, but when we listen now quickly, be careful. Our minds and our hearts are so full of pride that we can begin to get proud of how much faith we have.
Right.
We can begin to get proud of, hey, how much? I know a lot more than you do.
You can get
proud of anything. Pride is all over us.
Yep.
It's all through us.
Yeah, amen.
And the sooner we just stop fighting it and say, yes, you're right, the better we'll be.
That's right.
Pride, his pride said, I'm going to show these guys in the boat, hey, I'm going to walk on water. Y'all stay here.
Come on.
In a church, that happens all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, so and so, they're just so ignorant. They just don't know anything.
Oh.
You know, I think I need to go tell them a few things and correct them.
Yeah, come on.
That's not your place.
Amen.
See, but your pride starts to swell up in you, and you start to get proud of how much Bible you know, how many verses you memorize, how many doctrines you're sure of, how many years you've been saved, or how many times you've been to Sunday school. And dear God, listen to me. You are full of pride, and it's still pride, whether it's pride of the Bible or pride of the world, it's pride.
Yeah. Right.
And if you're proud of how much you know to the point where you think you're better than somebody else in your church, you are in trouble.
Amen.
Right. Amen, brother. Come on.
That's why churches split. That's why churches blow up, because people get full of pride about how much better they are than somebody else.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
I'm better than you, don't you know? After all, you know, I've got a suit and tie on, and all you got is a t-shirt on. I'm more spiritual than you. I'm more spiritual. And we get self-righteous about how much more spiritual we are.
Yeah, come on.
That's pride.
Sure.
Are you kidding me? Does the Holy Spirit get self-righteous?
Sure.
Then you're not spiritual, because if you were spiritual, you'd be humble.
Yes. Amen.
Not prideful.
Amen.
That's how churches blow up. That's how churches split 100 different ways. Because somebody starts talking, hey, can you believe what so-and-so did?
Right.
Yeah, come on.
Can you believe what so-and-so wore to church? Can you believe how they acted? Can you believe? And that ain't nothing but your pride, friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, Peter was saying, hey, I'm going to show these guys in the boat I'm better than they are. Can I tell you, Peter wasn't the only disciple that struggled with pride. We all do. Hold your place here and go over to Matthew 20. Look at Matthew 20 quickly. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him. Huh. Worshiping him. Okay, well, maybe she was, but let's see what really is going on here. Desiring a certain thing of him, he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right side, on the right hand, and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. I mean, James and John were her two sons, two disciples. They wanted to sit on the right hand of God, and they went and got their mama to ask for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it is funny. It's ridiculous. Look in verse 24. When the 10 heard of it, they were moved with indignation. They said, you, what?
Yeah, come on.
And see what happened right there? Division.
Yep. Amen.
Division. Mama? James and John went and got mama.
Yeah, come on.
Mama, will you talk to Jesus for us, please? We want to sit on his right hand and his left hand when he comes into his kingdom. And mama does it. And you got a big mess.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
If I remember correctly, didn't Jesus say, look, sit down here at the low seats.
Yeah.
Okay, sit down here at the low seats. It's better for you to be called up to the high seats than to sit up here at the high seat and say, hey, no, move. You need, and then to be abased. It's better for you to start off low. Stay humble.
Amen.
Clothed with humility. See, the disciples were just sinners like you and me. We say, well, you know, they walked with Jesus. They saw Jesus. I know that. But you and I have the same problems in our heart. And pride will divide a church. Pride will divide a family. Pride will divide a home. Pride will divide a marriage quicker than it is the root of all evil.
Amen.
All evil. If there's contention, there's pride. Only by pride cometh. If there's a problem between you and a brother or a sister in church, there's pride either in you or her or him or both of you.
Yeah.
If you're mad at the preacher, there's pride in me or you or both of us.
Yep.
It's all pride.
Yes, sir.
Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Peter's pride made him want to be like Christ, steal the glory from Christ. Peter's pride made him want to be better than his brethren. Peter's pride, go back there to Matthew 14 where we were, verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. Peter's pride led to Peter's fall. The longer Peter walked in pride, the closer he got to his fall. Do you hear what I'm saying? The first step was the step out of the boat. But I don't know how many steps he took. But every step of pride was one step closer to his fall.
Yeah.
That's
right. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Amen. Yep.
You're not going to end up in a good place living, walking in pride.
Right.
You're going to fall.
Yep, right.
You're going to fall. Proverbs 11 verse 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Lord, save me!
Yeah.
I mean, you're ashamed. All of a sudden, you know, it's not so cool. You're not so big as you thought you were. You're not better than everybody else like you thought you were. Because they're up in the boat, they're perfectly fine. But you're falling. You're ashamed. A man's pride shall bring him low.
Yeah.
Proverbs 29:23. Samson's eyes were put out. He found himself grinding in the Philistines' prison house because of his pride. Nebuchadnezzar's pride found him living in the pasture like an animal for 7 years. And after that, after God restored his kingdom by the grace of God, he said, you know, those that walk in pride, God is able to abase.
Yeah.
You know, you could say that now and learn now and save yourself a whole lot of falling, a whole lot of humiliation. Balaam found himself getting beat up by a donkey.
Yep, that's right.
That later he was yelling at like it was the donkey's fault. Now, I'll tell you one thing. That man must have looked like an idiot. And it was all because of pride. He didn't want to do what God said. He wanted to have his way. God said, I don't want you going over there. And so he went back and asked again. God said, I don't want you going over there. He went back and asked again. And God said, okay, Balaam, just go. I'll show you. Let me stop right here and say this. When you're asking God for wisdom and direction, don't already have your own agenda.
Amen.
In other words, when you really want to know what God wants from you, don't already have your own plans and then ask God if it's okay.
Yeah, that's right.
See, if you're already leaning one way and you ask God, show me what you want me to do, but yet you just keep leaning that way, you're going to fall that way.
Right.
Yep. That's right.
What you need to do is you need to stop thinking about what you want or what you care about it, and you need to say, God, I don't care, Lord, which way you want me to go. Just tell me. See, there's a big difference in coming to God in humble, true desire. God, you show me what you want me to do here.
Yeah.
And I'll take whichever way you want me to go, I'll do it. I'll make the decision based on your... I have no already preconceived ideas. I have no agenda of my own, Lord. You just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. But if you come to God, well, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, you know, this is really what I want to do.
Yeah.
And you say, oh God, and you have this false humility. Oh God, you just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. But in the back of your mind you're saying, but I really just want to do this.
Yeah, come on.
Are y'all listening to me? Don't tell me you ain't been there.
Yeah,
you've been there.
Yeah, come on.
God, I really want to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
But God, would you please show me? It's false. You need to say, God, I don't care what I do. I want to follow you.
Amen.
Amen.
Because if you're leaning one way, listen, you're going to end up finding a way to make Scripture twist and turn. Okay, I got peace about it. And you go straight out of the will of God because you found Scripture to make what you want to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Come on.
That's right.
Amen. That's what Peter said about Paul's writing. He said, some of them are hard to understand, but people take them and they're unlearned and they're unstable and they wrest them. They twist the Scripture to their own destruction. You can show a Mormon, you can show a Jehovah's Witness, you can show a Catholic, you can show charismatic, Scripture after Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, but you know what they do? They say, no, that's not true. You know why? Because they're already bent that way.
Yeah, right.
And if you're already bent that way, and you come to God and you come and you pray in this pride, well, this is the way I'm going to do it, God. Well, then you're fooling yourself. It's pride.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
It's pride.
Amen.
And you're going to fall.
Right.
If you know that God has said, this is the way I want it, and yet you say, well, I don't want it that way, and you just keep on living your life the way you want to live it, you are going to fall.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Did everybody understand what I just said?
Amen.
You're going to fall.
Amen.
That's right.
Because you're walking in pride.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Adam and Eve found themselves kicked out of paradise.
Yep.
Then going to Abel's funeral, knowing that Cain, his older brother, murdered him. Jezebel found herself thrown down from the wall, crushed when she hit the ground, and dogs eating all of her remains and licking up her blood. Uzziah, the king, died a leper.
Yeah.
Because of his pride, he was cut off from the Lord's house and he was cast out of society. 10 spies, they came back with an evil report. They found themselves living the rest of their days in the wilderness and then dying there. Because their pride said, no, we can't do this. God's not right. Jonah found himself in the bottom of a whale's belly, in the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
No lower place on the earth. No lower. The rich man found himself in hell.
Yep.
No lower place in the universe.
Right, right.
Yeah,
all of it, every bit of it, because of pride.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
yep.
I'm going to be better than my brother. I'm going to show that preacher that it doesn't have to be like that. That's pride.
Yeah.
I'm only saying that because I know I've been there. And when your heart's welled up with pride, the Word of God can resonate from the man of God and the pulpit of God and the house of God, and your pride is so thick and so ugly that you're just not going to change.
Yeah.
And dear brother, dear sister, you are going to fall.
Yep.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
And Peter did.
Yep.
Peter did. His pride led to his fall. Number four, his pride made Peter big in the boat and small in the storm. His pride made Peter big in the boat and small in the storm. Beware of the man, the woman who talks big, acts big at church, has an idea, this impression that they're big in the boat, in church with the brethren, but yet when they go out into the storm, you see who they really are. When you come to church with a heart full of pride, you're among the brethren and you're just, you know, you want to prove everybody how great you are, how much you know, you want to strut around and do everything your way, and regardless of what the preacher says, regardless of what the rules are, regardless of what the preacher's wife says, you're going to strut around and do things your way. Well, I'm going to see you in the storm one day, and you're going to be just as small as you are.
That's right.
You'll strut around in church and show everybody how you're right, and you don't care what the preacher says, and you don't care what the rules are, and you don't care what the standards are. I'm going to do things my way. One of these days, we're going to see you out there in the storm, little like you really are.
That's right.
See, pride makes you real big in the boat.
Right.
Yo.
But real little in the storm.
That's right.
When the storms of life come, you can't handle it because you're walking in pride.
Yep, that's right.
See, pride makes you small in the storms. See, the way we need to be is humble, small in the boat. And when we're small in the boat, we will find ourselves strong in the storm.
Amen.
You see the difference? Night and day.
Amen.
If you have aught in your heart against a brother in this church, it's pride.
That's right.
Amen.
It's pride. Tonight would be a good night for you to get that right.
Amen.
Amen.
If you continue to do things your way, when you know that you're not right according to the Scripture, according to the standards set forth by your preacher, and you continue to walk in pride, God is able to abase you.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
Bring you low. The storm will come. See, in the boat, he's the big man. Lord, if it be thou. He's a big mouth. Isn't he? Man, he's always sticking his foot in his mouth. He's a big man. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.
Yeah, come on.
And all of his disciples are like, Peter, be quiet.
Amen.
But out there in the water, he's crying, he's drowning, and he's dying. No more big mouth. Lord, save me! Oh, God! Yeah, why? Because he's full of pride.
Yep.
It ought to have been humble in the boat. Oh, thank God, Jesus is coming. Oh, hey, man, God, Jesus, I need you, Jesus. Hurry up!
Amen.
Jesus, let me show off a little bit and walk on the water. And then boom, all of it crumbles because he's full of pride. Pride has no strength when it comes to real storms in life. It makes you superficial and shallow. Because it's flesh. Peter's pride couldn't get him through the storm. His pride ended in fear, screaming, dying. If he wouldn't have cried out for Jesus, he would have died right there.
Right
there. He would have been gone. How many Christians won't cry out to Jesus because of pride? See, when God got him in the storm, he forgot about all his pride.
Yeah.
You know, you could avoid the storm maybe by crying out to God now.
Yeah.
And saying, God, I am full of pride.
Yeah.
Amen.
I do walk around like I'm somebody. I do bend the rules here and bend the rules there. Like, it's me after all. I mean, don't they know me? Yeah, God knows you. And it's going to take a storm to bring you down. And when the storm comes, we'll see how little you really are. That's not what God wants, though. But if you want it that way, keep on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Keep on. The storm brought him to the place. How many Christians today, instead of humbling themselves now, have been destroyed by the storm? Lots of them. Lots of them. See, pride makes me live controlled by the circumstances around me. When everything's fine, I'm fine, man. But when the storms are coming and everything's a mess, I'm a mess. Because I'm not grounded. I'm prideful. I'm up and down, hot and cold, in and out. Why? Because I'm not walking in faith. I'm walking in pride. Faith is what grounds you. Faith is what strengthens you. Faith is what makes you strong in the storm, not pride. Pride makes you crumble.
Amen.
You remember a man named Ahab. He was the wicked king of Israel. He went to Naboth. And he said, "Naboth, you've got this wonderful vineyard right here next to my palace. Naboth, I'll tell you what, Naboth, I'm the king. I'll buy your vineyard." You know, he's flashing his money. "Or, if you'd like, I'll give you another vineyard better than that." You know, he's bragging about himself and his vineyard and his money. And Naboth said, "No. This is my vineyard. This was given to me by my fathers. I'm not selling my vineyard. I'm not for sale."
Yeah.
And Naboth, big and strong man out there, you know, he went home and he said, "Mommy." He literally laid down on his bed and started crying, and Jezebel came in there and said, "What's wrong? What's wrong, honey?" "Well, Naboth won't give me his vineyard." See, he's a big man out here at the vineyard. He's a big man, big king, me king. But see, when things are... he's a mess. He's up and down, hot and cold. Why? Because he's walking in pride.
Amen.
And by the way, he let Jezebel take care of it, and she had Naboth killed. Now, anyway, that's not the part of the story that I was going to get to, but... Pride makes you big in the boat.
Yep.
But in the storm, we see who you really are.
That's right, yeah.
When push comes to shove, I quit. Why do you quit?
Yeah.
Because your faith is so shallow.
Yeah.
Because you're full of yourself. You're full of pride. By the way, let me tell you something. If you can't take instruction... If you can't take instruction from authority, you are full of pride.
That's right.
Don't tell me you don't understand. Just be honest with God tonight and get down to an old-fashioned altar and humble yourself and say, "God, that's me he's talking about. God, that's me he's talking about. God, that's me. And I'm headed for a fall, but I don't want to continue down this course." Every step you take is one step closer to your fall.
Yep.
I don't know how many steps he took. But every step was closer. I must walk in humility. I must be clothed with humility. How do I know if I'm humble, preacher? Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Quickly. I'm hurrying. Philippians chapter 2. Ask yourself, am I humble? Well, let's find out quickly. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Start there. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He was equal with God. He was God. But, verse 7, "made himself of no reputation." Okay, am I humble? Okay, well, then you're not worried about your reputation. You're not worried about everybody loving you, knowing you. "And took upon him the form of a servant." Are you a servant? and was made in the likeness of men. But look in verse 8. Being found in fashion as a man, here it is. He humbled himself and what? Became obedient. Obedient. Are you humble? Okay. Here's the question. Are you obedient to authority?
Yeah.
Is it that simple? It's really that simple. Does the Word of God... Are you obedient to the Word of God? If you're not, you're not humble.
That's right.
Are you obedient to the authority that God placed in your life? Ladies, you're to be obedient to your husbands.
Right.
You can clam up on me all you want to. That's Bible, young ladies. Amen. That's Bible.
Amen.
You're to be obedient to your fathers, children.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, church members, you're to submit yourself to the authority of your pastor.
That's right, amen.
Amen.
As long as he follows Christ, you follow him.
That's right, amen.
Yep.
Now, am I humble, preacher? Well, ask yourself those questions. Do you meet all of those qualifications?
Sure.
We don't meet all those qualifications. Every one of us needs to repent.
Amen.
Because we're all prideful.
Yes, sir. Right.
There's not a day goes by that we don't struggle with pride. All of us.
Yep.
All of us. But some of you need to get it right before you fall.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Before you fall. Husbands, are you ruling your house? That's what God says to do. Are you your spiritual leader in your home? If you're not, you're not obedient.
Yep.
You're not humble. He humbled himself and became obedient. That's the key. Am I humble? I don't know. Are you obedient?
Yeah,
see, this keeps me small in the boat and strong in the storm.
Amen.
And that's what we don't need to be big in the boat. We don't need everybody in church to say, "Oh, what a spiritual giant." Who cares? Just be humble so that when you get where you need, where the storm starts to strike, you will stand.
Amen.
In faith.
Amen.
Not pride. Because you will fall. Peter made a mess. And Jesus never said, Peter walked out there and Jesus said, "Oh, Peter, good job, man. Look at that." What? No, not a word. I need Christ every hour. I need Christ every second. I need to humble myself at this old-fashioned altar every opportunity I get. By the way, that helps keep you humble.
Amen.
You want to see a dead church? I'll show you a dead church. You show me a church where the Word of God is preached and nobody goes to the altar. I'll show you a dead church. You know why? Because they're all full of pride.
Yep.
They're all full of pride. Well, God didn't speak to my heart. Well, that you ought to be the first one running down here.
Amen.
Because you got big problems if God didn't say, because you're not right. Because the preaching of the Word of God is the power of God. It's not God's problem, it's yours.
Amen.
If He didn't speak to your heart.
Amen.
Oh, man, I mean, I have to kneel over here myself many times, almost every service. Why? Because I have to preach this, but God already spoke to me. I have to get right with God. I have to make things right. We're all sinners. We all fight pride.
That's right.
We all do. Are you obedient to your authority? Pride made Peter want to be like Jesus, take his glory. Pride made Peter want to be better than his brothers, his brethren in Christ. Pride led to his fall. Pride made him big in the boat. Oh, look at Peter. He's going to go walk on water. But he was small in the storm.
Yeah.
Think about this. At the judgment seat of Christ, when Peter comes up there, nothing's going to be said about this. "Oh, Peter, here's your 50 crowns. You walked on water. Nobody else ever did that." No.
Right, bro.
Nothing. He's not going to get rewards for this.
Right.
Wood, hay, and stubble.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Burn up. Why? Because it was done in pride. You and I would say, "Oh, Peter." No. You need to realize He wasn't doing this but in pride. Anything you do for Christ in pride, church, is going to burn up.
Yep.
That's that. You know that. That's. Oh God, that's scary. That's scary.
Yeah, me.
Lastly, turn over to Isaiah quickly, and I'm done. Isaiah 14. Appreciate your patience tonight. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, Satan, son of the morning? How art thou come cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? Why? For thou hast said in thine heart. Now notice, you don't even have to say it out loud. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now listen, if you're saved, you're not going to hell.
Amen.
But you're never more like Satan than when you walk in pride. Notice, he said, I'm going to be like God. Peter said, I'm going to be like Jesus. Satan said, I'm going to ascend and exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm going to be higher than all the other angels in heaven. Peter said, I'm going to be better than all my brothers in the ship. God said, no, you're going to fall. I'm going to cast you out of heaven. Brought down. He ended up falling. Peter ended up falling. And lastly, I want you to notice, I said he was the big man in the ship, but the small man in the storm. Right now, Satan's having his heyday.
Right.
Satan is having his heyday.
Right.
He is the God, little g, of this world. And he has got people wrapped around his finger everywhere.
That's right.
But one day, hell,
right,
forever.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Why? Pride.
Yep, that's right.
Now listen to me. I don't want to identify with Satan.
Amen.
I do never want to. I don't want our church to identify with Satan.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to fall because of pride.
Yeah.
Father, I pray you take the message tonight. Lord, I need to get on my knees.